ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town, on a gloomy Monday in the big city? Thank goodness All-Star Weekend is behind us. It could be one of, if not the most overrated All-Star game in the history of All-Star game weekends. But at the same time, we all survived. You guys caught some MMA. And I guess the local guy, even though I had him on our crap list because he dissed us, did well and then started dissing others. But without further ado, Nick Schrauer behind the glass, Barry Laminack to my right. We are ready, willing, and able for a Monday to speak about whatever you want to speak. And there is a slow boogie moving out of Sacramento and moving into the Big Easy, amongst other things to talk about.
So did you actually watch the game? I wanted to play a game. I wanted to try a social experiment, okay? Mm-hmm. So you watched the All-Star game, right?
I did. Mm-hmm.
Nick, did you watch the All-Star game?
No, not really.
Okay. Here was the experiment I was thinking about doing. I was going to make comments about the All-Star game and see if they fit, because I didn't watch it. I have no interest.
I thought you said you were gonna.
I was going to, and then I changed my mind because I was watching the fights, mm-hmm. and then I was seeing text and people like, "This game is a joke. This is ridiculous." And I was like, "Well, then this is pointless." And then I thought of this social experiment that we could try, and you tell me if it works or not, because you watched it, right?
Yep.
So I did watch the first day. I did watch Saturday.
So you watched the dunk and the three-point.
Right. And then I also watched, yeah. So instead of watching the game, what I did is I just watched my cat throw up a video of it on a loop, and it was just as entertaining. No, but here's what I thought we would try. Let's see if my commentary on the game works. If it fits, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you tell me if it's relevant. Man, that one alley-oop that the guy threw, crazy, right?
That's all they threw.
Yeah, I know. It's insane. And then that one when the guy shot, he had no business shooting a three that far away from the basket. But, man, that was crazy, right?
Harden. Just keep going. I'll fill in the blanks.
I'm just making these up as I go here. Yep. And then that one where the guy was like, "You know what? I don't even care about defense. Just go ahead. Go ahead."
48 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, good. So it seems like I watched the game. So no one will tell.
Not
if
just
you
the
use
game.
Those.
The weekend. Friday night. I'll tell you what. The most entertaining thing was watching the celebrity game just to see if any of the celebs actually had any game.
Right.
But
and
then,
did they?
Some did.
I heard that little kid.
And the little kid who later did interviews during Media Day.
I saw that.
And it was fantastic. He walked up to DeAndre Jordan and asked him to sign. He had a WWF belt, and all the guys were signing the inside part of it.
Which is really weird.
Yeah, and DeAndre signed it. And he goes, "Hey, man, I saw your shot in the celebrity game." He's 14 years old, but he's very, very small, and I believe he's fighting cancer. And DeAndre said, "Hey, man, I saw your shot in the celebrity game." And without missing a beat, he turned around and he goes, "Yeah, I got a better shot than you." And DeAndre even laughed.
Yeah, he did.
But there were some people that had some game. But right after that, they went to the stupid United States versus international format rookie sophomore game.
It was
so unbearably bad with no defense. And it was a layup drill. And everybody was trying to do more than they could. And I turned it off. I'm like, this is a joke.
And then that one guy with the pass.
Not to mention that other guy with the dunk.
Yeah. That's what I was just... I mean, I figured,
I know what you're doing.
I figured that that's what it was like. You wouldn't have to use a name. You could just describe four or five different scenarios that would take place in a game like that. And it's like, yeah, you're not missing anything. And it's sad because back in the day, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years, you used to want to watch that game. They used to play a little better.
Yeah. And they took pride in it, and they played all aspects of the game. Now guys don't want to get hurt, and guys just want to, you know, hang out with their boys. And you know, the night before, they're out partying and doing their thing.
Yeah.
They're not worried about any of that. And then you look at, I was trying to think of how do you make it better? Because like the dunk contest, too, stop putting no names in the dunk contest. Reggie Miller was dead on. The best guys, if you get a Dedekumbo, mm-hmm. in the dunk contest with just how freakishly long he is and with his ability to jump and everything like that, there was a couple guys where Reggie Miller said the dunk contest actually was moved to Sunday because at least during the game, the one thing you could acknowledge was there was some pretty ridiculously sick athleticism going on.
And then I think Shaq is the one that said it best towards the end of Saturday's festivities, if you can call him that, where he was like, you know, what this needs, what this weekend needs, is it needs the Stars to participate again. You know, it's all to them, it's all about money and getting paid or not getting paid, and they don't want to do these events. But he was talking about how back in the day, it was almost like you wanted to be the slam dunk champ. You wanted to beat Jordan. Yep. You wanted to beat Dominique, Spud Webb. I mean, these were guys that, not that Spud Webb was on the same level as Jordan, and but for that kind of a scenario,
but they were talking
crap,
and it was like a pride thing that I wanted to come in. If I'm Michael Jordan, I want to beat the best. I want to beat Dominique and prove that I'm here and that I'm going to be on the scene and I'm the dunk champ. Yep. Now you've got, no offense, but you've got Glenn Robinson III, so the little dog from the big dog. Because his dad was the big dog.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, Jones, who could jump out of the gym, but a no-name. And then the guy who wins it last year in Gordon, Aaron Gordon, who had the drone involved, which might have been cool.
That was the
but
worst.
But I keep saying this, and Nick, I said it to you last week. How many times can you reinvent the dunk to the point where it's interesting and entertaining? And the only way you can, at least from the standpoint of people wanting to see it and maximizing eyeballs, have big names. And if you can't get big names, or you got to buy them and bribe them to be there, then just get rid of it.
Yeah. And we talked about that a little bit last week, and how, I mean, there's nothing exciting about it.
No.
You know what I mean? There's nothing, like, I think, and we talked Sunday about how, do something different. Come up with a, like, play horse or, you know, a field day or have a dodgeball like the NFL. We've talked about that on this show, where do something that at least is fun, because these contest, the way that they're, this isn't fun. It's not interesting.
For me, like you mentioned,
I will say this. I'm sorry, Nick.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say
the four or five, like you mentioned, there's like four or five situations or scenarios that you can pretty much describe the entire game with, and you hit all of them. And the only thing that you didn't mention was the fact that Westbrook threw an alley oop to Kevin Durant, and that was just like the first time that you actually saw them, you know, communicate.
That was the only drama that whole game had.
Yeah.
Was that everybody wanted to see how that was going to play out. But the one that Barry didn't mention that we were going to use, too, was the fact that you say, great defense, what a block, and man, that was outstanding the way they took that charge.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't going to happen.
No.
I mean,
no way.
I just watched the Red Sea part every single time, and it's like part of the tip of the cap and the wow factor of NBA basketball is when a guy is being pursued to be stopped or is being contested and still does the kinds of things that he can do, whether it's a long shot or contorting, hanging in the air, dunking. But when the Red Sea just parts and everything's an alley-oop, you're like, okay, yeah, the only suspense other than how Durant and Westbrook were going to get along was, were they going to hit 200 or not? Was one of the other teams going to hit 200 points?
And you feel like the NFL has a little bit more of an excuse because the game that they play is extremely violent, you know, but I mean,
that's where you can realistically say, I get it, they don't want to get hurt, and you're not going to take in a free game, you're not going to take a hard shot on somebody.
I think one of the things you could do is, I don't know if they do that or not, but what if there was money involved? What if there was a pool of cash that the winners get to split?
Well, there is.
Well, how much, though? That's the thing.
It's winning team versus losing team. I think in all-star games, you get I don't want to say double, even though it's not, you know, it's not huge. It's probably like $10,000 and $20,000 or something like that per guy if you win versus
really
if you lose.
Produces no motivation. When
no,
you think about
not
it.
With these guys. Yeah, because they make two appearances at a party and one for their shoe contract. And they're done.
Yeah, I mean the skills competitions, like the 3-point contest, was the best.
I was going
to
say
the three.
The legitimate one that I looked forward to watching, that I know you can't screw up, that you still have to perform, and it's under time and everything else, is the 3-point contest. And I legitimately look forward to that. And that might have been, I will say, that I look forward to that more than anything else the entire weekend.
Well, it was the most interesting thing. I mean, it really was. The dunk contest was lame as hell. Lame.
The only thing I did.
You can only jump over a guy so many times before it's like, or go under the legs. It's like, all right, you can jump over people. We get it.
I was going to say, I did the freeze frame on both videos just to see how high each guy got, the fact that their head was basically, their nose was on top of the rim. And you're like, that's impressive, right? And they weren't taking full court running starts to be able to get that high. But then, unless you come up with props, you know, we can go from jumping over a car to a DJ to, you know, a cheerleader, a mascot, and a guy.
Jumping over DJ Khaled isn't impressive. Jumping around him would be more
impressive. Right, and since he sideswiped DeAndre when he was coming, he kind of had the idea he was going to get a shoe right in the puss anyway, so he got out of the way.
Uh-oh. Yeah, and then somebody said that the Remember when LeBron and Wade were mocking Kobe for going hard in an All-Star game, and everyone laughed at Kobe, and now everyone hates the game. And it's true. There was a time when, you know, guys played, and slowly they started getting mocked for it, and now they don't.
I liked early on Westbrook got into it kind of kiddingly with Isaiah Thomas. And it was like, because maybe that was going to spur on some defense. I was like, okay, these guys are going to start digging their heels in a little bit and say, you're not going to dunk on me. You're not going to score on me. That would actually be kind of fun to watch. But that didn't materialize. It's a very, very tough weekend to watch. Ike, you want to get in here real quick on this All-Star game stuff. What's up?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, man? Ike? How's it going, man?
Not too bad. I got two quick points. First, about the no names being in the dunk contest. I think, yeah, there were no major names, but let's look at the flip side of the coin. The guys who were participating in the slam dunk contest, it's a big deal for them. You know, they get a chance to showcase what they can do, even though they're not LeBron, they're not Kyrie, you know, they're not the major stars, but they still get a chance to go out there and perform for everybody. Second, I think we're kind of getting a little bit spoiled. Like, I think the fact that we're taking for granted that guys are able to jump over people and jump over DJ booths, you know, that's not a feat that a lot of people can do. I think we're just getting spoiled with how good these athletes are and, you know, what they can do.
Well, it's not really spoiled necessarily. I think it's more of we've seen it. Like, that was literally every dunk was how many people they jumped over. So, I mean, there was no creativity is my point. It's not that I'm spoiled. It's just these guys aren't being creative with the dunks. They're just like, here's four people in a row. Here's three people in a row. It's the same thing over and over.
And here's my question, Ike. Do you remember the guy from Utah that was in the finals and or won it 2 or 3 years ago?
I can't say that I do know.
See, exactly. And no one else can either. Exactly. That's why it's not important.
Great point. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's like, you know, thanks for the call. It's great that these guys are getting exposure, but no one wants to see them.
They're happy to be there.
You want to see the stars.
They're hoping they get some kind of a marketing opportunity out of this. But for the most part, it's not what America and American basketball fans want to see during that weekend.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. This is a chance to showcase this sport to the world, the best of the best, and having to do with 20 minutes of game time in the NBA. And the dunk contest isn't showcasing the best of the best.
No.
You know, you want guys like LeBron and, like you said, the Greek Freak and guys that can go out there and impress people and are stars to showcase the sport.
All right, I'm going to tell you about Gallery Furniture, and then we're going to get out of here real quick because we're going to try and get Kevin McHale in for about 3 minutes to talk about a big trade that went down in the NBA coming out of the break. Gallery Furniture right now has a big President's Day sale today. If you didn't know, today's President's Day because of it. Mattress Mack trying to make it even more enticing to get a deal on furniture that you may have been looking for or have wanted to get for quite a while. Starting with Macapedic mattresses that start at $19.99, but you get an $800 Gallery Furniture gift card right off the top, so it makes even more sense. All American made solid wood furniture, 2-for-1 recliners, Macapedic sleep sets, they're all available. You buy today, you get it tonight. Gallery has the best, largest, and the highest quality American-made furniture for living room and dining room furniture. That means dining room tables and chairs and all the living room furniture you could ever imagine. Perfect for your home setup, and they have it where you buy it today, you get it tonight. They have three great locations across the Houston area, Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, Westheimer and Post Oak in the Galleria, the centrally located one, and then, of course, the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker, right there on your way out of town on I-45. Mattress Mack sits right there up front. He makes sure there's service after the sale. He makes sure what you promised is what you're delivered, and after the fact, if you have issues, you call them. They make sure they make it right because they want you to be repeat customers because it's a locally owned and operated place in Houston. They want to continue to thrive in Houston, and because of it, they need Houston to make sure they do their furniture shopping at Gallery Furniture. So do me a favor and do yourself one as well. Head on out to Gallery Furniture, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker. No back order slips. You buy today, you get it tonight. Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Just to follow in
Joel Berry and Nick till 4. And without further ado, the Hall of Famer, the man getting ready for a golf lesson. There's not any teacher in the world or enough practice balls on the range to help that swing, but he is taking some time out from what is a busy week for him before he joins us later in the week to talk about a big trade that went down in the NBA, one Kevin McHale. Coach, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely, fellas. What's going on besides Boogie Oogie?
Well, with the
is that the main topic for today?
Well, that's at least the main topic the top that everybody's talking about. And, yeah. You know, and I've been going back and forth with some people on this, and I figured you'd be the best insight. No matter how good a player Boogie Cousins is, I think at a certain point you reach a threshold where you say, I'm just going to cut my losses now because he's basically tearing us apart from within, and no matter how good he is, we're not getting any better.
No, I agree. I mean, let me tell you something. There's talent, then there's teamwork, there's togetherness, there's winning, there's all that. There's no doubt the guy's got a ton of talent. But they won, most he's won is 32 games in his career. And the biggest thing about being a top player in our league, it's not how good you are. It's how good you make your teammates, how good you make your team. I can tell you this from talking to people. There's a guy, I won't give his name. He didn't say I could say this, but he's a guy that's been in the league. He was in the league. He had a nice playing career. Probably played 12, 14 years. Came off the bench mostly, but helped good teams win. Became an assistant coach. He said the worst guy to coach ever he's ever been around. And this guy's like a no nonsense guy. He was in Sacramento with Boogie, and he was just like, he said it's an impossible guy to coach. So there's that aspect to it. So, you know, and the other thing is I see everybody's just trying to kill poor Vlade, and he should have got more. You know, that's like saying everybody in our house. But the bottom line is the best offer you get is $1 million.
We're struggling
with all this stuff about.
Coach, we're struggling with the cell phone. Try not moving for a few minutes, just for a minute, because you're going in and out, and we want to get this. So try that.
Okay. Again. All right. You guys got it right
yep,
there?
Yep,
there
go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was just saying that, you know, it's like everybody's saying that Sacramento should have got more for the kid. But you know what? That's all that there was available. They called every team in the league. They went around. They did all their due diligence. That was the best deal they could muster for the guy. There weren't a lot of teams in the league willing to trade for the guy. It has nothing to do with talent. It has to do with all the other aspects that we talked about. Teamwork, togetherness, winning, all those things. And so, you know, to me, I think it was time for Sacramento just to move on. Like you said earlier, you get to a point where you say, you know what, we're not winning with this guy. And it's like I said, I've had coaches, I've had other players that have played with him. I haven't seen many people say, boy, I tell you what, playing with Boogie Cousins is a great experience and I really enjoy it. You just don't hear that.
Coach, do you also think that this had something to do with the fact they were worried about being able to re-sign him long term? I know a couple of weeks ago they talked about that he was going to be a king long term, but do you think that maybe that broke down at some point?
Well, yeah, you don't win enough. You want to pay the guy $209 million not to win? I mean, you know, again, I'm not just talking tell. There was a lot of things that went into. I just think they decided they'd had enough and they were going to move on, and so they just said we'll take the best offer for the guy. I assume that thing came along. That they came around to that thinking the last month or so. I just think, you know, I think prior to that, because I know I had talked to them about, you know, they want them wanting to stick with Boogie Cousins and, you know, that was going to be their future and stuff. They've changed their mind and they've moved on. But, you know, again, I just think that, you know, that's kind of what Sacramento could get for the kid. Everybody shouldn't be beating up Vlade Divac, and I just don't think there's a lot of holes for him in the NBA.
Talk about Vlade for a second, Coach. That's the other point I wanted to make. A lot of people are killing the how badly they've screwed up first-round picks over the years, but that was before Vlade. They actually addressed that by getting Vlade in and making the changes that they've already made. So he can't be faulted for Nick Stauskas or other moves. He just has to be judged on what he does going forward, and what people are missing is two first-round picks in what might go down as one of the deeper drafts in NBA history is a good way to start.
Agreed. And plus, you know what? There's some guards and there's some point guards, there's some leaders, there's some guys on your team that can make plays for others and help each other to win. Helping your teammates get better. I I think if I was them, I'm sure that, you know, they've looked at everything. I'm sure they, like I say, they came to the conclusion that they were just going to move on. So getting the picks, they have their own pick now. You know, they're going to have New Orleans pick, and a lot of people are saying New Orleans is going to make it to the playoffs. I don't know, maybe. But you're right. So it's a draft, but what's in this draft are a lot of point guards, a lot of guys that can, you know, pass and move the ball. So again, I just think it's going to be a, I just think it's a move moving forward right now that you know, they've got to get better from this point on, and we'll judge this trade, you know, how it brings. I remember when Paul Gasol went to the Lakers. Everybody was killing Memphis. Hell, they got a perennial all-star in Mark Gasol's brother to fill in for him. So, you know, like I say, it's hard to judge it right now, and that's my take on everything.
Well, and Coach, real quick, and this will be the last one before we let you go, but right. Look, they wanted you really badly, and this situation had to be one of the big stumbling blocks, because you had the uncertainty of not knowing if they were going to keep him or if they were going to move him and what they were going to do. And it's hard to try and get someone to commit to a certain situation if the uncertainty is looming everywhere you turn.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty, and you know, I did look at the job, and Vladdy's a great guy, and I really like Vladdy a lot, and we had a lot of good talks about things, but there's just, like, again, probably too much uncertainty. And also, you know what, I'm just such a big believer that your top players have got to make everybody better. And unfortunately, in our league right now, we're getting so driven by analytics, so driven by all kinds of stuff, that they take that aspect out of it. There's a personality aspect that's huge, huge. And you can't just throw that away and say that doesn't mean anything. And the personality aspect of Boogie Cousins has just been always really, really, you know, I like a lot of people, are very just skeptical of him, and can he drive a team to win? Can he make everybody better? And is he the type of guy that you can win a championship with?
Well, there you have it. Now, the analytics of golf is, no matter how many balls you hit, you're not getting any better. But at least in your mind, if you believe you are, then
I believe
you can change. You can move mountains.
Yeah, I'm with you right now. I had a little bunker lesson from my buddy here, and I was hitting him pure with a ton of spin, and I might have forgotten everything when you started asking me Boogie Cousins questions, so my mind imploded. All right, you guys.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate you spending some time. Kevin McHale joining us right there. And Barry, that's one of the things I was going to talk about. And I've got stories like he does, and I know people that have worked with Boogie Cousins. And I think at some point you can have all the talent in the world, and a lot of people say, but it's what's between his ears that's hurting him. But also the fact that when he starts hurting the people around him that are working for the organization as well, you can pretty much ruin any situation, good or bad, no matter how they're playing on the court.
Yeah, no doubt.
Justin, we see you. We're coming back to you next. We can talk about that. We can talk about the trade. We can talk about other trades that might be coming up, and your Rockets. And by the way, you have the three-point champion here in Houston, Texas, which was a nice little coup for the weekend. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. We'll be right back. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 as we continue to roll on. And trust me, we don't want to talk at length about the dunk contest or those kind of things. We definitely would like to break down the second half, or that's just a term for it, the final quarter of the season in the NBA, the trade with New Orleans and Sacramento, others that may be on the horizon. Will the Rockets do anything, and do they need to? We can talk about all that, but before that, let's get Justin in here to get his thoughts on the dunk contest. Justin, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen.
What's up, man?
Hey, so the dunk contest, it's worn out. There's no originality anymore. It's like the music industry. Things keep getting sampled and reprocessed. What people want to see are the superstars doing it. We need to see the LeBron, the Durant, even Harden, stuff like that. We need to see those people do it, because no one's coming out with anything that is just groundbreaking. It's not the Jordan free throw dunk whatsoever. No one has that. It's just going to be reprocessed. It needs to be the stars. I'll hang up and listen.
No, that's kind of what we said, Justin, already, and don't disagree. But I think both your points are points we touched on in the first segment, which are there's only so many different ways to reinvent the wheel before you either got to completely blow it up and start with a different format and kind of create a different kind of contest.
Yeah.
And if you have Glenn Robinson III against Aaron Gordon, it doesn't have nearly the impact that if you had Russell Westbrook against Giannis Antetokounmpo, against LeBron James, against insert superstar starter in the All-Star game or something like that here, would have on the country, the world, basketball fans, however you want to slice it.
Yeah, you know, there's things that I think they could do, and I was trying to think of ways you could improve it. And one, I think it's getting the stars back involved, mm-hmm. right? What if also you had like a set type of dunks that you had to draw out of a hat, like okay, there's like a 360 dunk, there's this, and then these guys had to draw that dunk and then go try it. So they didn't get to pick their own dunk. You had different types of dunks. And then, you know, so there's LeBron James and he puts his hand into a bucket and he pulls out free throw line dunk and he's got to go up and try it now. And that might make it more exciting because then you don't know and they don't know, but they know that this is the range of dunks and then you go out and try it. That might make it more fun. And we talked about the skills competition. Instead of just some dude that dribbles around three things standing still, does a chest pass that none of them hardly could make, does a layup, which is to the NBA. Who gives a crap in a skills competition about a layup? And then they run down and shoot a three. What if the dunk contest was a part of that? Instead of the layup, you had to do a dunk. And then you got judged on that dunk, and that became part of your overall score for the skills con. There's tons of stuff they could do. Why do some of this stuff? Do 2-on-2, 1-on-1, horse.
The skills competition, they wanted to implement a free throw, but they thought it would take at least 6 hours, so they just said they couldn't do that. It wouldn't fit in TV time.
I mean, they do the chest pass, and then they don't even make them complete it. It's three times, and even if you don't make it, you go ahead and run down the court and do your layup.
I was kind of with you, but here's the thing. Like, LeBron trying a free throw line dunk, and then he pulls something or tears something, and then all the general managers go crazy. But I would say you take.
Well, if then don't do that one if it's too risky.
Or
do
if there's a way,
360s
like, categorize
between
it
the legs,
and
whatever.
Say the kids with the sick long hops. Take all those guys, and they've got to pull it out of a hat. So one's got to go from the free throw line. One's got to go from outside the lane to the left, and maybe over. You know, do all those kind of things, and then the guys that are more like artistic in the air, closer to the basket, try and, you know, break it up like that. Because obviously, the kids that they had involved in the contest can all get up and fly.
Yeah.
But again, they don't carry star power. So it doesn't have the impact that it would. And I don't know if there's any way, like I said, you can reinvent the wheel so many times and just say, I just don't know if there's any way to freshen this thing up anymore. Remember now, there was a good, from like the late 70s on, we didn't even have a dunk contest because it had run its course. Yeah. And then they brought it back.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time for a hiatus again. I don't know.
I certainly wouldn't miss it. I'll tell you that. In fact, if the NBA just said, you know what? We spend X amount of money a year doing the All-Star game. We're going to donate that to charity and just not have one for the next 5 years. I'd be good with that, too. I really would. I would not miss a single moment.
Or you could do a GoFundMe and take bids until they reached a certain money to buy off not having. We won't play the game if you raise $1 million for charity. I'm pretty sure you might get a mil. Because people are just like, you know what?
Yeah.
You know, the biggest thing that I would say in terms of what impressed me in terms of the game itself was the fact that because the game itself during the year is not played the way they were playing that All-Star game, the degree of difficulty that the passes had to be made at to get them right off the backboard from the crazy angles and some of the one where LeBron throws it to himself kind of on an angle to the left, catches it so that it hits just right to the right-hand side of the basket, and he alley-oops it to himself, was a laser. I mean, I'm like, you really can't practice that a whole lot because your coach is going to get really pissed if you do it in practice. But there were some great degree of difficulty passes, but that's why they're the greatest in the world.
And that was during the game?
Yeah. He did it in traffic during the game. But again, traffic means what? I couldn't duck in time? Because you saw Steph Curry a couple times.
Just lay on the floor. And
then the one time he did stand up, he got absolutely posterized to where his own teammate was laughing at him.
Yeah. Somebody said... Oh, this is OU Mike. But I'm going to still read it because it's funny. He said, what about dunking over a cobra pit or a lion cage?
There you go.
Wouldn't be good. A very Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome style of dunking. Like, what if they dunked and then fought? What if instead of a three-point contest, they fought and then you had to shoot? Kind of like, isn't there like a wrestling or not, it's like chess and boxing. There's like you do a chess move and then you get up and you do a round of boxing and then you do like more chess. They need to do stuff like that. That'll be fine.
It's all fun and games till someone gets hurt.
Because then you could have like Westbrook.
So you think general managers are gonna go, yeah, I'm gonna put my franchise player I'm paying $200 million into a chess match, which he then goes sparring for and could break his nose.
We should have Westbrook and Durant have a dunk contest between them, then arm wrestle, and then 3-point shooting contest. And then
the spring on your microphone may be bigger than Durant's arms.
And then like leg lock wrestling. You know how you lay on your back and you do the leg wrestling? Yes. Yeah. I would watch that more than I would watch anything they did this weekend.
All right. So I spoke too soon.
Everyone's lining up for the dunk contest.
Yeah, everyone wants to talk about the dunk contest. All right, that's fine. Who is it? Is it Toten? Is that what it says, Nick?
I believe so. Todin. Welcome to the program.
Toden, you there? Hello?
All right, that's not going to work. He's got a terrible
signal.
He's got
the same reception as Coach McHale.
He and Coach McHale are on the first
team. Try Darwin.
Darwin.
This is why
Darwin's theory of dunkolution is coming next.
Darwin, are you there? This is why nobody takes calls. This is terrible. All right.
There you have it. So now, so after we recreate the dunk contest, we'll recreate the process in which we can take calls.
Yeah, us taking calls was almost as bad as the All-Star game.
Darwin, we're going to try it one more time. Darwin on the dunk contest.
Darwin, go!
Hello?
Yep, you're on, buddy.
You get him?
Yep, I got you.
Okay, I was just saying, just leave the dunk contest alone. Just go down to D-League and get those players that can jump and let them be on a big stage for one night. That's how I would do it. Because them guys in D-League, they know how to do some dunks that we've never seen before.
Okay.
They had that already, dude. They had a dude to play 20 minutes and no one cared. Like, who cares? I don't want to watch a dude in a D-League dunk. That's the D-League All-Star
game. And I don't
game.
Like the idea that says you got to pay them more to entice them. They make enough money. If they want to do it for the thought of competition and impressing people, do it. But if you don't, that's where I draw the line. And like, at what point is too much when you keep having to throw monies and cars at them? Just to, like Shaq said, give them a Mercedes-Benz if they win. I don't even think that's going to motivate them.
Yeah. And we got a text that said, what about a flop competition? And that's what I was saying. When I was tweeting during the skills competition, I was like, you know what? These aren't even real NBA skills. If they wanted to do a skills competition, they would have a flop contest, and then they would have best high five after a missed free throw contest. And then they would have a best pregame high five dance between two players contest, because that's all the rage right now. Those are the real NBA skills.
Best intro dance.
Yeah. That's the one.
Best one sentence crap talk in game.
Who? Like, who?
I'm just saying, like, you know, so guys could say, just kind of like when we had Dre and Trey. You know, you get 15 seconds with a referee or some guy you're schooling, best lines, and they got to go back and forth.
I got you. Yeah.
I would like to hear uncensored best lines to an official when they either blew a call or made a call against them they didn't like.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too bad. I wouldn't be opposed to that.
That would be entertaining.
And Chris on Twitter said that the MLB still has the best All-Star game. It's better than the MLB, or the NBA has the best All-Star game, better than MLB, NFL, and NHL. I disagree, bro. You've obviously never watched the NHL All-Star Weekend. It's pretty fun to watch, and the MLB game itself is better than any other game in sport because those guys actually try, because a batter at the plate doesn't want to get struck out, and the pitcher doesn't want to have one taking yard on him, so they're actually trying to get each other out, unlike in the NBA where Steph Curry's laying down in the lane while, you know, the Greek Freak goes in and dunks.
And home field advantage in the World Series means something in baseball. At least there's something to play for. There's nothing. There's just nothing to play for in the NBA.
I've seen more competitive. In fact, I watched the Globetrotters this weekend. That was a better game than the NBA All-Star games are. And the Globetrotters, by the way, when did that become fixed? When has that always been rigged?
Oh, my God, the Washington Generals?
Has that always been rigged?
Sure.
Because they had, like, the Generals had, like, an 8-point lead with about a minute left, and they somehow lost by four.
Wonder how that happened.
That's just, I think the fix is in. I don't know for sure. I'm not going to say the Globetrotters are cheating, but I'm pretty sure.
This is why you told me you went and canceled your order for the Washington Generals hat and shirt when you thought that they were going to win. That was going to be your new favorite team, and then you found out the fix was in?
Of course.
They got to get a better logo.
What do you think that they do you think that they had anything to offer for Cousins, the Generals, the Washington Generals?
Oh yeah, better uniforms.
Do you think they were in the trade talks?
Better uniforms than either team.
Totes.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, we got more to get to. Let's get to the Boogie Cousins thing. Let's get to where Jimmy Butler may or may not go. Do your Rockets make a move, and do they have to? And lots of other things that we have on our list. Derek, if there's something Lewis. That's on yours, that's right. Derek Lewis won, even though he didn't do our shows. You know, right. we'll forgive him. A big win for the hometown. And we'll talk about the ramifications of that going forward with our two MMA experts, one Nick and one Barry. If you want to join us, 713-780-ESPN.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Nick, and Barry, before we go any further, because once it comes out of your mouth, it's open game to be beaten like a drum. I did not know that they, and that's my bad that I said that they still had home field decided with All-Star games in Major League Baseball.
You mean you said something wrong?
I
what?
Did.
Oh, my God. We should roast him. Yeah, it's no big deal, dude. I mean, that's like, whatever. Of course, people are going to pounce on it right away.
Yep.
It's, but, yeah, no, I think this year is the first year. That it won't matter anymore.
I was going to say, because last year it still mattered.
Yeah, so I think this year is the first year. And then, of course, I see the text where people are going, they've already done the name out of the hat. They had a wheel. Yeah, and I like that better. That's my point. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, come up with something else. That's the point. You guys are missing the bigger picture, which is the league needs to do something to be more creative. They did the wheel. Keep doing the wheel, but do it with LeBron, not with some D-League scrub who's at 20 minutes. I don't care about that.
Well, and the thing is, you claim to have marketing geniuses with all of your ad campaigns and all the things you do in the NBA. Well, then figure it out. Figure out a way where instead of thinking about what your next ad campaign is or in between ad campaigns, sit down in a room and get some of your most creative people to start thinking about how do we do this differently and better to make it more compelling and entertaining for the fan? Because they always say that All-Star Weekend is all about the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then make it more fan-centric.
Dude, look what the NFL did. They went out and got dodgeball.
Yep.
As part of their skills competition.
Bowling.
And they dropped footballs from a drone hundreds of feet in the air that receivers had to catch. That's called thinking outside the box and making it more fun and exciting for the fans. And that's what the NBA needs to do. That's the point.
I was kidding about the free throws, but instead of just a 3-point competition, make it an overall shooting competition. Make it to where you have to make a mid-range jump shot or a certain amount of them, and you have to make a free throw, and you have to make a certain amount of threes, and you have and the horse competition. When yeah. horse used to be really entertaining at halftime of games on the NBA on CBS, the horse competition was good.
Or have like a, I mean, do like a Battle of the Network Stars. You remember that?
Yeah.
Where they would run like 40-yard dashes yep. against each other. Stuff like that is, I think that would be way more fun. If there's a grudge match, like players could challenge other players. You know, if there's two guys that are wanting to challenge each other and see who's, man, just there's got to be a, put a bunch of smart people in your marketing department, like you said, in a room.
Yeah.
And no one leaves until we have 10 new ideas for All-Star Weekend. Yep. I guarantee you they'll come up
and
with
the
some
other
fun
thing,
stuff.
If they're going to bitch about, some, well, we can't do the Battle of the Network Stars idea because guys are going to get hurt. If we're going to be worried about the guys getting hurt factor and that's going to start resonating as being a big topic, then let's just move
then
on.
Then just don't have an All-Star Weekend.
Let's just
honest
move on.
To God. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's a cash cow for the league, though. Even the halftime, and I like John Legend.
I'm already mad that we're into our fourth segment and we're still talking
about
it.
Yeah, the calls keep
coming.
Just
to be honest with you.
We have two more lined up.
Nothing could be more disgusting to me right now than the NBA All-Star Weekend. It was
I really
that
thought,
bad.
I really thought everybody thought it was bad, but people
I was just
watched.
I might just go
are
sit in
are we not giving
hall.
It enough credit, though, considering
no,
people want to talk
I'm
about
gonna
it?
No, I'm going to go sit in the hall until you guys are done and let all these callers punch themselves out.
All-Star this, Weekend Talk
crap.
4. Nick and I will continue to roll.
I'm out.
All right, let's see. Let's get them through. Trey, you're next. What's up?
I swear, if this is Juggalo Trey.
Hey, what's up?
It
hang
is.
Up. Hang up.
Hi, Trey.
Hang up on his ass. I don't want to hear from
him. Don't hang up on me.
I don't care what you have to say about All-Star Weekend, Trey.
You're going to like the ideas, Barry.
Am I? I tell you what,
I think you're going to like it.
Hit me. Your first one better be the best one, or I'm going to tell Nick to hang up on you. All right,
give me your best idea.
Hold on. Give me your best one, and if it sucks, I'm hanging up on you, okay? Go.
Okay,
best one.
Here's my first idea. You take the worst free throw shooters, like maybe DeAndre Jordan or Dwight Howard, and line them up and put like a time limit, and like the most free throws made wins like a $1 billion or something. I don't know.
See you tomorrow, Trey. Thanks for calling.
Hang up on him. Bye, Felicia. Hang up on him. That's terrible. Now, if you would have said that you put them in the first time they miss, pie to the face, I'm down. Or punch to the face, I'm down.
How about this?
Like,
how about
it's the like old... you only got to make one. But you got to make one. You get one shot to make
the
one
NBA
free throw.
Will be calling us for jobs because we've just created a new competition.
Yeah. Or you like you have a little person. I won't use the M word.
Ooh.
You have a little person stand in front of each one of these bad free throw shooters, and every time they miss, they just punch them right in the jaw.
How about this?
Just
take the old concept at the fair of the dunk tank.
Yeah.
Okay. But you take the worst free throws in the NBA, and you think of someone really good to dunk, but in order to get dunked, they have to make a free throw before the other guy.
Yeah.
We could be here for hours.
Yep.
All right. Hours of entertainment. All right, Al. NBA All-Star Weekend, what's up?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey, man, I was checking it out, and the tickets was running like $184, and I can't see paying that much to go watch these guys just go around and don't do nothing. And then I was thinking about, why don't they let some of the NBA All-Stars play the Harlem Globetrotters?
See?
Because they'd kill them.
Yeah. They would kill them. And this one guy keeps texting
the show. They're not doing nothing anyway.
That's a great point. Uh-oh, we're having an
Al. All right. Al, bad reception, but thanks for calling. I mean, look, here's the thing. He mentions ticket prices. The other thing that I noticed about the luster.
Did he say $184?
Barry. People.
That is.
I'm just telling you. And I've seen it both when it was here and especially in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
People will give up we heard people on the street say they gave up rent money for a month to be at the NBA All-Star Weekend. Mm. And we were just like, what are you thinking when life becomes that serious that you want to go to an All-Star Weekend?
Mm.
That's ridiculous in itself. But did you notice, for everybody that's saying and chiming in and talking about the dunk contest, it's the least populated event of the entire weekend.
Yeah, dude, there was empty seats all over the place.
No one wanted to be there.
And Dre texted the show early on and said, Raheel and John said it's for the kids. And then somebody just said, the All-Star is for the kids, you dumbasses. Really? Is that why they run all those commercials for beer and Viagra during the All-Star game and the All-Star breaks and all that? Because it's for the kids? Don't call me a dumbass. The All-Star game isn't for the kids, dumbass. It's for fans. Adults and kids. Mm-hmm. It's not just for the kids. Do you think kids know who all the celebrities are that are out there? No. It's for adults too, dude.
And
kids ain't paying $184 for a ticket.
You know
I'll
why?
Tell you that.
What they do too to smarten up for the actual crowds, they have that at the convention center as part of jam session. So as part of jam session, if you're lucky enough to get in line to get seats, that's why it looks so populated at the celebrity game, because it's the court in the middle of like what would be the George R. Brown as part of jam session, because people get a chance to see celebs and some of, you know, former players.
Yeah.
But just like they have the practices over there, because it makes it look more populated than if you would have had it in the building and realized it was a half full building and only in the first level, because no one really cares about anything but the game itself.
Oh, no. Did you see all the kids?
You dumbass.
All the kids that drove down there and bought tickets and come on, man.
And here's the other thing. The NBA uses seat fillers. So for the game itself, when you're not in your seats, if you have seats to the All-Star game, they put NBA employees in your seats with a bracelet. And they sit there till you come back to make it look full.
Do they save money by just getting fat people so it looks more full?
Then they because they lose it at the snack bar. Because those people also get food.
You gotta feed them.
Yeah, it's a balancing act, and that's a heavy balancing act to take.
All right,
Justin wants to chime in. We'll get to you in a minute. And then, with 1 hour in the books, we've done more than enough All-Star Weekend.
I'm done!
He's done, son, after Justin. That's a fact. One in the books, two to go. Plenty more show. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.